Toyota, let's go places.
Justified, frozen, died, for wearing a badge, and you're chosen one.
Yeah, it's radio time. I'm your host, Rick Esqueta. Thank you very much for joining us today. I have some people here in the studios, but before I begin that, what I have going on today is sponsors. We have a sponsors here in the studio with us today. His name is Alexis, comes from Alexis Hair Products. Thank you very much. Alexis, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Thank you. Shut up. All right. That's how we treat our sponsors around here. With no respect. No respect at all. Also joining us right now is Tim Mars from Lexington Bar.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Also comedian.
That's right.
Yes. Stand-up comedian. And along with Tim is Ed Galvez. Ed Galvez is here as well.
Hey, wow, this audience is huge. Guys, calm down. How do you fit all of them in this studio?
Just to let all the people out there in the radio world know what's really going on, we're all on a table in the middle of a big arena.
Right.
And there's about 5,000 people applauding around us.
Minimum 5,000.
They're all under us, though. We throw bread at them. Spit on them because they are peasants.
The Budweisers are like $10.
$10. Yeah, exactly.
Money back.
This Coliseum's a ripoff.
Yeah. Is radio time here. Thank you, ladies. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm your host, Rick Esqueta. Calm down now. And
she bit me.
Yeah, she bit you. And two of my friends are here right now to start off the show because they have a very interesting and fun bar called the Lexington at 129 East 3rd Street at 900, zip code 90013. Thank you for giving me the zip code. And
got to be precise.
And
Serial F you.
And before, Tim, tell me about your new bar, Lexington. What's going on over there?
We had our 3-month anniversary yesterday, opened up 3 months ago. And within like the first week, we had Ed sitting next to me do a comedy show. And it's been popular ever
very
since.
Cool.
Yeah, his show rocks. And then we do like a late night open mic at 11 o'clock. That's tonight. So it's
okay.
Called Big Trouble. That's the name of the show. It's like cool the name. Funny thing about the name is that it takes you a second. It's like a joke grenade. Like, you got to think about it for a little while.
Yeah.
I'll give you a hint. The show's in Little Tokyo.
Okay, big. Okay, gotcha. Big Trouble.
Yeah, but, like, usually Tokyo. You don't get that big of a hint. You've got to kind of Google it, and then you're like, oh, where is the place?
Right.
It's horrible. People say, like, wait, so where is it at? And you're like, Little Tokyo. And it's a clamor.
And that is Tuesday nights, 9 p.m., and then you have an open mic afterwards,
yeah,
right, for all the comedians.
Comes on right after. But and the thing is also, it's with the open mic is that after we reach a certain point, then we start, like, doing fun twists. Like, we'll either do, like messed up storytelling, so everyone has messed up stories in their life. So, the first, like, hour and a half will be people doing their act. But then once it starts thinning out, it's like, okay, we'll start getting into, like, messed up stories from our past or stuff like that.
Or starting out live auditions.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So just, like, real quick, do three original characters and three celebrity impressions.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
It's like karaoke, where if you're good, it's not funny, but if they're terrible, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
It can't be too good.
Yeah.
I do that a lot.
Exactly.
I do that a lot on this show. I share a lot of stuff. My children and grandchildren are going to enjoy this website.
Right, they're
going to
know that.
Growing up.
The subtle nuances of...
I have Ed Galvez here. I wanted to show some
like
of his stuff.
If you're like agoraphobic, you're like, oh, I don't want to go outside because I'm a mouse. But like if you're... but if you're homophobic, you're like a jerk. You're like, ah! Those people love each other and it has nothing to do with me. Rage. Ignorant smash, you know. I was like, what would happen to that guy if he like slipped on a banana peel and he hit his head and he got like all his phobias mixed up? Like he got his like arachnophobia and his homophobia mixed up. I'd like to think that his day would go something like this, where it's like, oh, son of a bitch, there goes the garage. Honey, goddamn spiders are moving into the neighborhood. Don't tell me I'm overreacting. What's going to happen? Those spiders are going to have sex with other spiders, and there's going to be a big parade down Main Street. Do you want that? Of course not. That's creepy. Then they're going to get a membership at my gym. Then they're going to be diddling their thoraxes while I shower. Do you want that? Of course not. I'm your man. you going to feel when our son goes to prom with a brown recluse? It's not God's way. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Tarantula. And then, like, whenever they see a gay guy walk by, they're like, geek, 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 and like chasing him with a slipper.
Ed Galvez. Yeah. Give it up for Ed Galvez right there.
Never heard that joke.
The audience, they all went to the bathroom. They're back now.
They all go at the same time.
But they're back now. That's Ed Galvez. Ed, how long have you been doing comedy?
I started in like 2000. Around 2000 was when my mom passed away and pre-9/11. So I was like, all right. Perfect time.
The Marines or comedy? All right.
And it's sort of categorized, and I don't know how he feels about this, but I like to refer to him as an alt comic. And that's kind of a controversial term because nobody knows what that means.
What is an alt comic?
Well, I mean, how would you define that, Ed?
Well, I mean, I don't.
It's like
for me personally, I don't think I just consider myself a comic. You know what I mean? But the thing is, like sometimes, like if I go like east of the five, and then you know I'm doing like Latino night at some place, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. That's what I mean. I don't know. It's like just stuff that's different than what you would see like on the road.
I guess the
simplest answer, but it's like alternative rock. That's like. Some people call Pearl Jam alternative rock, and it's like, no, it's on the corporate radio. It's all rock. It's all rock. Comedy's
if you have
comedy.
A joke with an iPhone in it, you're alternative rock.
Right. Or if you drink Pabst.
Okay. We have a caller. Who's calling Is Radio?
Hey, is that me?
Yeah, who are you?
Well, that's what I wanted to bring up immediately, is your call screener was doing some pretty slipshod work, quite frankly.
Okay.
All right. He didn't ask my name, and he didn't ask where I was from or what I wanted to talk about, which is, I don't want to use the term slipshod, just willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Call in next week. I'll do better.
That's
all right. Well, next time, I hope you step up your game a little bit.
Okay.
I want to start with Tim.
Okay.
Because Tim is a very close friend of mine.
Oh, okay, okay. And what was your name? Was it Willy Nilly?
My name is not Willy Nilly.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard say Willy Nilly.
I want to see if you can guess. I want to see if Tim can guess
This is Tim Marr's friend.
Yes.
And we're playing Guess
his name.
I look like a deer in the headlights right now.
I'm pretty sure he has my cologne. All right.
Okay.
I think he might have my cologne.
Whoa.
Take a guess. Come on, Tim.
And that brings us to the next announcement that Tim wants to say. Wednesday nights at Lexington is gay night, and it's called Wednesday Hump Night. So just wanted to bring that up. Maybe
that's the biggest night. Yeah.
I'll give you another hint. I'll throw another hint out there. Why not? I'm very upset that you waited until I left LA to open your own bar. And I was about to have a bar while I lived there.
Ooh.
Wow. This is an interesting guessing game, but one I'm having. How are you feeling, Ed?
I'm giving Ed this, please bail me out.
One more hint.
One more hint. All right. Really? You once spent a fair amount of time cleaning my carpet.
Oh, shoot. You've been... Oh.
A fair amount.
Is this Ron Jeremy?
Are you a comedian?
I have no idea. Like,
did you ever clean carpets?
No, I didn't. That's the funny thing.
Have you ever puked, peed, or pooed anywhere?
I've done a zombie piss in my life.
I have anybody
who likes to have a couple coldies once in a while, you have a pee-pee in the ham.
I met a guy like this one time. He was saying stuff like this.
I'm gonna take a pillowcase and fill it with the bars of soap and beat the shit out of you.
Is that the same guy?
I have no idea.
All right.
You got
Time's
me.
Up. Who are you?
Who are you, fella?
Do I have to throw out more hints?
No. We're going to hang up in about 5 seconds.
Jimmy Mack. It's Jimmy Mack.
Ah, shit. All right.
Crackhorn.
Okay. How you doing, Jimmy?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing good.
What'd you do to his carpet?
I think I actually cleaned it just out of, because we were roommates. We had a mutual, he was living with his girlfriend, Stephanie, and I was living in the other room. I cleaned the carpet just because it was filthy.
Oh, now you're remembering?
Now I'm remembering.
There's a certain breaking point I have to stains, you know?
I didn't say I paid you to clean the carpet. I just said you cleaned it.
Yeah,
I appreciated that. I did. I really did.
That was nice.
It was kind of fun doing it, I think. I was smoking a lot of weed at the time. So, you know, you get...
Yeah. Now I want to hear about this zombie piss.
He used every cleaning product in the house. He took every cleaning product. He was using bleach and just, like, bender. You know, like,
yeah, well,
he Clorox was... and spraying stuff and, like, Velveeta. He didn't care.
He's a regular MacGyver in the house.
Right? I like a clean house is a happy house, you know?
Well, thank you very much for calling in and scaring the shit out of Tim.
Thanks, Jimmy. I want that to be one of Tim's illegitimate sons.
I was like, this is what have I done?
Here's a little piece of Tim I found on YouTube.
I love hip hop though, because when you hear, like, you hear it on the radio, you get used to one song, you get used to that song on the radio, and then you hear, like, the original version, you're like, oh my god, what song is this? Right? Because they take the cuss words out, they use auto tunes. That's what it sounds like. That's cool. That's cooler than an F word, right? You know, I got used to the one song. You are my everything. You all I really wanted. We could do it real big. Bigger than you ever know. I used to beg for it and then give it up. And I say the same thing every single time.
You're the best I ever had.
You guys know how that song really goes? You know what he really says? And I say the same thing every single time. You're the fucking best. You're the best I ever had. You're the fucking best. Doesn't that just negate the whole romance of it when you drop the F-bomb in there? How nice. Is that something you say to your wife before you go to bed? Hey, honey, you're the fucking best. Don't touch me. You're the fucking best. That's something you say to your father when you haven't seen him in 14 years. Yeah, Dad, this is my son, Wayne. He's a freshman in high school. Of course you've never met him. Don't worry about that. You're the fucking best.
I haven't listened to that in a while.
Yeah, I like that. I had problems with my dad too, so I like that.
Right. Me and my dad are good.
So you said that, you're the fucking best. Oh, that was great.
I smoked weed with my dad once.
Oh, you did? Yeah. How was that?
Well, it's like it's a thin line between feeling like, wow, this is the coolest day of my life, and oh my god, I'm officially white trash. We were smoking out of a tin foil pipe that we had whittled up together.
You mean with a pen?
Yeah. Am I saying too much? Am I admitting too much about my life?
Not at all.
I'm like on the record now. I've opened up a bar, so like LAPD Vice knows who I am. Let me tell you.
If you want, we can dedicate a show to you and open up to everybody out there.
So my vices and all the mishaps.
If it sells, I want to be behind it. I'd like to promote you. Yeah. I'd like to make money on you on your the sad part of your life.
Right. I'll come on the air and OD.
Yeah. There we go. Here we are. He OD'd. We'll be back next week. Yeah. And see if he's still alive or he's dead. Tim Mars, owner of the Lexington. Now, is it the Lexington Bar? It's the LexingtonBar.com, correct?
Right. That's the website.
Okay. That's the website.
And also on Facebook, Facebook.com/ the Lexington Bar. But the place is called the Lexington, and it's at 129 East 3rd Street in Little Tokyo, which Tuesday nights you have Big Trouble Comedy. Ed Galvez is running that on Tuesday nights. Now, Ed, you gave me, I'm sorry, I'm scrambling here on my notes. I want to go over some of the credits that Ed gave me because it's a shitload. And I'm just kidding with you. Because it's a shitload. No. Host of Fort Podcast and Sex Buddies Podcast. Tell us about those two.
The Fort Podcast is me and two other improvisers that we met at Improv Olympic and the Upright Citizens Brigade. And so it's a sketch comedy podcast. We bring in basically the most famous person I can get that week and do like audio sketches, sort of like old timey radio ones, but modern day ones. But you know,
I like that.
Yeah. So we'll hang out and chat with them, and then we kind of force them to be in like these kind of like weird sketches. But the producer of our show, like, he does like sound design for TV and movies, so okay. All the sketches sound really good. To cover up the bad writing. Okay. And then the Sex Buddies is a sex themed podcast that I do at the Joint Studios with Dave Cyrus and Allison Stevenson. And then we bring in like a guy and a girl comic, and we just kind of like we the premise of the show is people that should be giving sex advice giving sex advice.
Got it.
So we learn a lot about each other and a little bit about ourselves.
That's funny. You guys were like busting our balls because they took a picture of us in here, and then we immediately posed. And you were like, "Wow, you guys posed so fast!" And Ed was like, "I'm the before picture." That's how we do it.
You also got MTV and the History Channel. You did something on there, and then you're starring in a movie called The Many Lives of Jovan Cornejo.
Yeah, that's a movie that's coming out. I play Jovan Cornejo. It's a horror comedy with me, Steve Agee from the Seller Cinnamon Program, Josh Faden from 30 Rock, Mike McCafferty from, he was like in Idiocracy.
Cool.
And so, yeah, it's a big, bloody, funny mess. I go around tearing people apart, literally.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Must be
nice.
Fun.
He's the title character, dude. Yeah. How bad is that?
That's awesome.
Yeah,
dude.
That's awesome. You got the title.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was awesome. Like, the makeup girl was amazing. So it was like a dream come true just because I grew up on horror movies. So yeah. I'm getting actually to do that.
Oh, my brother Adrian would be excited. He loves horror movies. I'm not a big horror movie fan, but he loves them. So he'll probably catch you. He'll find you.
Yeah.
We shot this little commercial that we did for the bar, and we had Ed play this like car salesman that we nicknamed Johnny De Niro.
Okay.
It was hilarious, dude. I wish I could rebirth that character. He was like, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
We got another caller here. Who's calling? Is radio time. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jeanette.
Hi, Jeanette.
Hi, Jeanette.
Why are you calling our show? How did you hear about us?
I want to sponsor.
Oh, you want to sponsor us? Really?
Like an AA sponsor?
Like, yeah, we're looking for sponsors. You want to be one of our sponsors?
Yes, that's why I'm calling.
Okay,
what's
great.
What's your product and service? How can we help you?
I sell lingerie.
Ooh, lingerie. Nice. Ooh, I think that'll work here. Hello?
Very nice. It's for men.
Lingerie for men.
Oh, mangerie.
Mangerie. Mangerie. Hey, we might be able to tie in something here with Wednesday nights at the Lexington.
Yeah.
We have a specialty drink that night called the Slobbery Knob.
The banana boat.
So what was your name, lady in charge of the mangerie?
My name is Jeanette, and I'm trying to sell my men's product. It's called Sexy Play Play.
Sexy play.
I'm a 38 waist. You can send it to the Lexington.
Listen, I give you all 10% off, okay?
Oh, okay. All right. I've been wanting to buy some mangerie.
I can't afford not to buy it at those prices.
Cool. What else will you give us? Anything free? Can we have like elephant underwear? One of those?
Sheepskin.
With a trunk?
No, I have toys, though.
You have toys? What do you have?
What do you like?
It sounds like
anything edible.
Interactive. Chonka trucks. GI Joe.
This
will
go good with the children's books we're selling.
Whoa! She goes, whoa.
Well, thanks for calling it. We're gonna look into that. We're gonna see if maybe you can sponsor us. We have another caller on the line. Thanks for calling. Is radio time? I think it's Sandra. Now we're screening calls. And it says caller name Sandra from Ohio.
From Ohio.
Is that Sandra? Who is Sandra?
It's Sandra.
Ooh, sorry, Sandra.
Sandra.
And why are you calling us here today at Is Radio?
I'm also sorry for your terrible on hold music.
Oh, okay.
I'm throwing the sound guy under the bus today, dude.
Cancel sponsor already hating.
Sound guy just lifted up his hand and says, what the hell? I don't know what the hell.
It sounds like I'm waiting in line at Space Mountain holding a fax machine.
Oh, it does.
Good job, dude.
Very cool. All right. Are you calling to be a sponsor or you know somebody here on the show?
Well, clearly you guys need my help, if not for the music alone, you know. So I wanted to call in as a sponsor.
Okay, cool. What is your product and service? What do you got going for us?
I have an Etsy shop called Dildo Doilies.
Wow.
Where are you advertising your show? Because there's a consistency of the phone calls.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of sponsors.
Rick. Yeah. But no, are you putting this in a Craigslist personal section?
No, I think we have ads on meganslaw.com.
Right?
Well, that makes sense because it looks so tacky when you have your dildos just laying on a table. You put a nice doily on it. It makes it look like it's supposed
there
to be
you
there.
Go. Yeah. That was style in class.
Tell us a little bit more about your product.
That's exactly what I'm going for.
Okay.
Style and class in dildo display. We shouldn't have to hide dildos in shame as a woman. It's somewhat of a trophy of our independence.
Well, that's a little bit sexist.
Well, I'm a feminist, sir, so I'm allowed to be sexist.
I'm just saying guys are ashamed of their dildos also.
And, and I'm going to take a quick stop right here, timeout, and introduce somebody who came into the studio. I've been wanting to introduce her, but we've been talking. Nikki Burnell, ladies and gentlemen.
What's up, guys?
Joining us, and yeah, I could just see smoke coming out of her ears. She's like, she's the only woman here. She's like, I want to say something.
I was like, I can't comment.
I want to say something. Anyways, back to you, caller Sandra.
Sandra.
Yeah,
Sandra.
You give a dildo a doily, grandma can use that as a centerpiece at the dinner table.
There
totally.
You go.
Mm-hmm. Also, like, if it's used, it'll leave rings unless you use a doily.
Right?
Okay. Thanks. And is there anything that you would offer our listeners?
I would offer a complimentary doily with your order of 50 or more.
Okay, wow. 50 or more?
That's a lot of dildos.
All right.
Yeah. I deal in bulk mostly for bachelorette parties and, you know, unfortunately, gag gifts. That's what I end up selling a lot of. But can't complain. A dollar's a dollar.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to think about this. I'm going to have my people call your people and see if there's a market in that.
Bulk wholesale dildos. That's two in a row.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Asian dildo to poke the holes in the doilies.
Yeah.
I wonder if she had any gonzo dildos. Do you know what that is?
I don't know what that is.
It looks like gonzo's nose.
Gonzo's, yeah.
Because that's what a lot of guys have a problem with. They got the little curve going on. Yeah. Question mark hanging
going
from
the other
between
way.
Your legs.
Yeah.
That's a problem, guys, that not switching hands. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
You got it. There's products out there to straighten it up. Switch hands.
I think you know a little too much about this that I don't know.
Yeah, no, I've studied.
But you can break your dick, too.
You can.
You can break your dick, and then you get a curve on your dick for a while.
Yeah.
And then they say you got to stay off of it so it can go back straight.
Huh.
But a lot of guys choose to pick the curve. We have a caller.
Is that what the Clint Eastwood movie's about?
I thought that was a skateboard.
They take a mold of your girlfriend's vagina and they'll go, we'll get it just right.
We got another caller here, Brad from Los Angeles. Brad, wow, these screeners are working full time.
Brad.
Hey, I have a question for Tim. I'm a first time caller and first time listener.
Hey, what's up, Brad? Thank you for calling in. What's going on?
No problem. Tim, what's up with the big chicken wing recipe on your website?
Wanted to tell everybody a nutritious way to make chicken wings. A lot of people stick to frying them. You can bake them.
Okay.
Yeah, on our website, we just have a chicken recipe as one of the links. It's like location, about us, how to make chicken wings. You know?
Boom. Okay.
You got to stick to what's important in life.
Okay. Please. Okay. Wow. Yeah. Well,
we don't take ourselves too seriously.
Maybe you could trade some chicken wings for some dildos or something like
that. There you
go. Okay.
I like the way this guy's thinking.
Yeah.
He's got his priorities straight. Let me tell you that.
All right. Any other questions, Brad?
No, I think thanks anyway. I love it. Just keep the laughs coming.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Hey, thanks have you been to the Lexington?
I have. I went to its inaugural private opening.
This is Brad Correa.
You mean the gala event?
Is this Brad Correa?
This is Brad.
Oh, this is good. He's from, we went to the same high school in Lexington and Kentucky. And that's what I named the bar after. And it's funny, dude, like when I put like a Facebook page up for the Lexington, right? We have like 250 likes. I'd say 120 of them are Lexingtonians from Kentucky, which is awesome. They're not really going to go to the bar, but like it's great. They're like, yeah, let's hear it for our boy.
Okay.
Support them.
I'm going to start promoting the Lexington, man. You're gonna see that number is gonna double soon.
Did you ever start working for Kim Kardashian? I know that my friend Brad was gonna start working for Kim Kardashian or for the production company. Did that ever come into fruition?
Yeah. I worked on Chloe and Lamar.
All right.
Good times.
A lot of fun.
Cool, Brad. Well, thanks very much, Brad, for calling in. Tim, you got a lot of people out there that are supporting you. I like seeing that. That's always good here in downtown. One more time, Tim, where can everybody find you?
So we're at the Lexington every night. I'm there. You'll see me mopping floors and serving drinks. I'm like 70% of the labor right now. So
okay,
not too cold for school.
But that's the dream. That's the dream, right?
That's the dream, baby.
I saw this guy on Spring. Okay, you know the guy who has Spring Street Bar?
Yeah.
Right down there? That guy. I saw him start off from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was doing most of it, and now he flies planes. and people are partying at his bar, and he walks in with like 3-4 chicks next to him. I don't understand how that one little bar is doing that for him.
You guys never want to be in a plane with me as the driver, or as a pilot, by the way. If I ever talk you into that, just have a reality check and say, you know what, I'm going to drive.
And Ed Galvez runs your Tuesday night shows, right, Ed?
Yeah. It's a popular show, so if you're going to check us out and you love stand-up comedy, Ed's show is, in my opinion, the best one we've got as far as book shows right now.
Awesome. Well, you're welcome to stick around if you want. I think you have to go, or both you guys have to go.
Ed's got a show in Santa Monica.
Come on, no more talk about dildos. Jeez.
I'll just be supportive.
I just got here to talk about dildos. The chick comes in, they're like, oh, sorry, the chick's here, we got to go.
No, I was just yes ending, all right?
Okay.
Thank you, Ed Galvez and Tim
you
Mars.
Me.
Thank you very much,
I'll
guys.
Stick around.
You stick around. Tim's going to stick around. We have another sponsor here today. It's Alexis Hair Products, and Alexis Hair Products was one of my first sponsors, Nikki.
Oh, wow.
Yes, you have hair. I don't. So, therefore, we could talk to you about it.
I have very unruly hair. It's Latina hair.
It's Latina hair.
And, slightly whitewashed Latina hair.
And Nikki, you know, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Nikki Burnell did not get an appropriate introduction. So, here we go.
Sounds like every relationship I've ever had.
Give it up for Nikki Burnell.
Aw, I'll take the applause break. I'll take it, Lee.
And Nikki's been going up in all the local clubs. And I didn't get time to take your credits down, but you're joining us today. Please tell everybody where they can find you and what you've done.
Sure. I was featured on a couple comedy tours. I was on Michael Yo's Hot Mess comedy tour. Also on J. Chris Newberg's Bad Idea tour.
Awesome.
Thank you. I will be at the Westside Comedy Theater on June 2nd in Santa Monica if you guys want to check that out. I just finished out the Tap House Comedy Battle. Finished in the top 5 of that. So, I started comedy when I was 19 after playing softball at New Mexico State.
Ooh.
Yeah, I've came from that Southwest region back in the old school El Paso comic strip days.
El Paso. So you know Bart.
I do know Bart Reed.
Okay.
He does not like bad comedy.
He doesn't.
What comedy club does?
I know. Well,
never mind that answer.
Well, very true. No, but most comedy clubs will still like do the open mics and open it up to new comics. He will not do an open mic. Like, he doesn't know you and know you're good. He will not put you up at all.
I do a lot of open mics at the bar I'm running now, but it's mainly because this new wave of comics are alcoholics.
Right. Man, they will hit the two-drink minimum.
You're a very smart man.
Bills to pay.
They will hit that two-drink minimum and then some.
Oh, yeah, they don't need to be reminded.
No, not at all.
No, we have, as long as you got PBR, you're good with the open micers.
Well, I got a little bit of Nikki. I got a little bit of Darlene Nikki here for you. I want everybody to listen to.
And I'll finish with this. You can turn to him and be like, we could come for hours and hours without the semen showers if I was only on the pill. We could come until we sing if I was on the NuvaRing or if I was only on the pill. But I'm not because I don't have health insurance. I'm not going to let you come in my mouth and I don't do anal.
Yes.
Thank you. That is my homage to explaining to guys once they lean over in bed and ask you if you're on the pill.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's lovely. I like how you do your comedy with the Disney singers, the princess.
Oh, my Mexican Disney princess.
Yeah, well, all these things that you're doing on the pill, and you're just singing. You got to forgive me, but I'm juggling so many things. I got two guys out today. I have my sound guy is not here today, so I have to do sound. And then my co-host not here today.
You've got three arms. You can handle it.
She's your co-host.
Yeah, she's my co-host. But I needed to have her bio and everything. I got her at the last minute and all that. So I just want
to. Did. I was at work, so I didn't have time to send it to him. But yeah, I usually do a comedy set and then I'll end with a song. But I love to ruin classical music in children's music.
Yes. Very nice.
Here she does another one about the Mexican princess.
Yeah. She'd look off in the distance and be like, I want to be where where the gringos are. I want to swim across the Rio Grande. The Mexicans got that. That's a big river that we have to cross. Border Patrol won't know that I'm swimming beneath. We swim, if you didn't know that. Up where there's jobs and they don't run from Pancho Villa holding a gun. Where water's not free. But it won't give me amoebic dysentery.
Yes.
The moral of the Mexican Disney princess music. Yes. Yeah. Obviously, don't drink the water when you go to Tijuana.
Yes.
Oh, I drink it all the time.
In ice cubes.
Nikki Brunell. I like that comedy. That's really good. I like it when somebody sings.
Thanks, Rick.
And they have a nice voice, and then they have a little sense of humor. Also with that, and a little making fun of the Mexicans.
Yeah,
no,
right.
That's always you can't pick at your own race. Whose race can you pick at?
Yep.
Everybody's.
Nikki, tell me a little bit about yourself. How long have you been doing comedy?
On and off now for a good almost 7 years. I took a big break. I had a big girl job. I had to be respectable to a Mexican family. I actually worked for NASA in Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas.
Oh, you did?
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. And how long? How many years?
Ooh, 5 years.
5 years? Yep. What were you doing there?
I was
right. That's classified.
It's classified. Area 51 is going to like beam me up in a second. No. I wrote contracts for them. I negotiated deals for anything that engineers need. Like, I wanted something to tell my grandkids I did other than tell penis jokes and birth control
yeah,
jokes.
Okay.
So that's, did you like Texas?
That's the only reason.
I hated it. That is the devil's armpit in Houston.
Isn't it?
Oh, really? How about Austin?
Austin's cool. Austin's a really cool young vibe.
Austin's maybe. Like the little butt sweat you get above your butt crack. It's not actually the armpit, like the butt sweat, but at the tip of your waist.
I took a business trip to Dallas one time. When I say that, I mean I was suing a company. I was totally a but I was suing a car company. But anyway, I got driven around by somebody that worked for the Chamber of Commerce in Dallas because he found out that I was opening a bar at the time. It took me 3 years to open the bar in LA with all the city permits and everything.
Uh-huh.
And they drove me around. And he goes, man, you know, we'll have those permits issued to you in Dallas faster than you can do construction. They're trying to you're an entrepreneur. They want to get you out there. They're aggressive in Texas about starting businesses.
As long as you're an entrepreneur and a Republican, boy.
For sure, right?
Come on down.
You're white. You got money. They're going to help you all they can.
He was like, come on down.
You're white or you got it.
Huh? If you were a little too brown, they'd be like, okay, we need to have some references in this. Mm-hmm. We need to check your credit, your portfolio.
Wow.
Yeah, it's brutal starting a business in LA.
Oh, it is. It is. And I've started them and failed as well. I've lost them as well.
I failed at one before this. I tried to start a weed clinic.
Because you have too much competition in LA.
Well, I tried to open it in La Habra in North OC.
Yeah.
And I got $50,000 of investment capital and blew it and got shut down by the city.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was liberating because, I mean, somebody wrote me a check for $50,000.
Okay.
You know, so that was cool and it was encouraging, but then it was kind of like, oh, wow. Now I know. I was like dreaming. It was inspiring in a weird sort of backhanded, serendipitous way.
How long were you in that little
It took
mess?
It was about 6 months, but it was all said and
six
done.
6 months?
Wow.
Yeah, the city was just so hard on, from what I learned afterwards is that that's how they all are and you just got to tough it out and, you know, ignore the city, but my investor was just like, I want to cut my losses. I don't want to go to jail.
So were you opening up a shop?
Yeah, we had just about opened it up, and then the city officials just kept coming by, knocking on the door, saying,
you can't open.
No, we don't want this. I mean, there's a moratorium, and then he was just kept threatening to send me to jail.
Was it an Orange County thing?
Yeah, it was North OC, yeah.
They need to make a show like Bar Rescue, like Dispensary Rescue.
I'm actually working on something similar to that, where they go into the... happy ending massage places, and they need to make the place better. The pot dispensaries,
and you get to try.
It comes in, everybody's just stoned.
It's like this place is not working the way it's supposed to. And then he grabs the guy's head and puts a pillow on his head. That's service right there.
And the Bar Rescue show and those shows, he always has to try all the food.
Yeah.
So then you go like, I want to try the masseuses. Let's see how Tiffany does. Let's see how Ginger does.
You like the wax for them.
Now, did you deal with Bar Rescue?
No.
Okay.
I've never been on that.
I went to Stand Up Scottsdale in Arizona. Howard Hughes.
Oh, cool. Place.
And the weekend before I was there, Bar Rescue was there.
I saw that episode with, who was it? Ben Owen or
something. Yeah,
who was
on Benjamin
that?
Owen.
Benjamin Owen was on that, And Josh Nazar was on that.
Yeah, Josh was there as well, too. And
I hope I don't have to go on that
Josh
show.
Josh, like, walks off the stage. He's like, forget this crowd.
Oh, really? Was it a bad show?
The whole setup.
I didn't see it.
The whole setup was horrible. As being in comedy clubs, like, usually they'll push people to the front right away and fill in the back.
Mm-hmm.
No. They were putting people in the back first. Mm. You could hear bottles clanking, people making drinks while people were doing comedy. They were letting people text, be on their phones.
Okay. Because he was telling me it was all set up, to look bad. Him to look bad. That guy, what's that guy's name on Bar Rescue?
John Taffer.
That guy, he's an asshole.
And I really do.
Yeah, that he just shows up and starts giving orders. And but they prep them beforehand. They prep the employees.
The staff.
They ask them shit like, is he a jerk? Like, before they're filming.
Yeah.
You want to say some bad stuff. Like, let it all out.
That's reality TV, though. I mean, they got a TV show to make.
I was hoping that one was a little bit more true to life, though, because I actually watch it. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah. I don't think any of them are really true to life, though. I mean, I can't really think of one.
Hoarders. I would say Hoarders, because that would just take too
storage
much.
Storage Wars.
No, Storage Wars is fake, because I was an extra on one.
Really?
An extra on one. And then they were saying, okay, this is what we're gonna do. And then they already knew what was in there.
Mm. And they shoot it a bunch of times like a movie. They get singles and wide shots.
Yeah,
and
they got to. Yeah,
and they didn't want me to they didn't want me to bid. And I was like, hey, how about I try? No, shut up. You're just supposed to look like you're interested. And then they would pick characters and say, okay, we're gonna pick this character, and they're gonna start talking about the Black Widow, and it was like an Asian lady dressed in black. And then they're gonna call her the Black Widow, and she was a poor little extra person. 50 bucks. She didn't even know what was going on. She didn't speak good English either. Don't say anything. They're just going to call you the Black Widow.
It's like, man, I don't even get the SAG after minimum in this.
Stuff? So it was fake. It was all fake. And it was the one with the big guy and the bald head.
Oh, yeah.
The van and the tall white dude who goes with them city to city. We go city to city. Buying storage wars. We're buying storages.
Yeah.
And it's all fake.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh. And you know what? I heard that big guy was caught in a prop department, because I have a friend that works in the back. And he was caught, they saw him, shake hands with the head of prop at 20th Century or something. The deal is closed. We got a lot of props.
Somebody on Twitter was like, I can't wait till the day when they open up the storage unit. It's like a bunch of immigrants just stuck.
Yeah, that's what it should be.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're like, smuggling. Oh my God.
All right, I want this room.
I want that one. Give me that one.
Nikki, sure. What are you working on now? What's going on?
I was on a couple podcasts. I'm actually in the works to do a new podcast. We have a sponsor, a liquor sponsor. I'm not supposed to say anything yet, so I can't talk about it very much.
Okay.
It's not going to be only female-based. I know whenever a girl does a podcast, all the guys are like, oh, man, talking nothing about nails and ovaries and babies, but... all that stuff gives me anxiety. So
Derek,
none of that will be discussed.
Reckons the dick.
All right. Okay.
What was that?
It'll be nothing but no gag reflex jokes. Just kidding.
All right. Sounds like a good show.
Cool.
Yeah, it sounds like a great show.
Now, we were talking about one of our sponsors, Alexis Hair Products, who went to the bathroom and came back.
I need to know about this.
Yeah, and we were talking about your hair, Nikki.
Yes.
And we wanted to see what we can do with Nikki's hair.
Yeah, I need some help.
If Alexis Hair Products can help out. We actually had a number one fan, she didn't buy it. You gave it to her.
I gave it to her, but she would buy it normally at her salon.
Oh, yeah.
What was it?
One of my treatments in hair polish.
Oh, cool.
He owns a hair product company.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
and so,
if one you, of like, our... you like my Facebook, I'll like yours.
All right. Oh, they're bartering now.
This is bartering, this... baby.
Hey, I have a Facebook fan page, too. I'll like it. We can barter for some hair products.
Look up Alexis Hair Products on Facebook.com and then like his page and buy his products. And his radio promo code on that, too. And I think we'll put money into finding a hair treatment for me. So,
it's called a beanie.
Yeah, exactly. In the wintertime. But what do I do in the summer? Spray cans.
Spray cans. SPF.
I also have another. This is another very cool sponsor that I love so much. And actually, I'm going to ask you guys, I might as well, because I like to be real on the show. Have you guys done a TV spot?
For the bar?
Stand-up comedy.
I did Man-Up stand-up on MAV TV, and it's hosted by Adam Hunter. I love Adam. Adam's great.
Adam's the greatest.
But that was on MAD TV?
MAV.
MAV.
That's
okay.
The one that's owned by Mark Cuban.
Okay.
I think like 50 people in America have it.
Now you needed Mark Cuban for your dispensary. He could have Shark Tanked you.
Right. There I am.
Oh, yeah.
How about you, Nikki?
Nope, I've been on a lot of funnier die sketches that went straight to never.
Okay. Now, what was your preparation like? I'm just curious.
Comedy Time taped it at the Ice House.
Okay.
And
yeah.
it was they had their Comedy Time logo behind it, and you know how they do, they buy you out. Have you ever done it? They buy you out for the performance, and then once you get your, they give you a little bit of money, and they give you some fruit. And a hat.
Some fruit.
They do. They give you a fruit basket and a hat. And then
a shirt. Did they give you a t-shirt?
I got a t-shirt. Yeah. Okay. Hey, got me on TV. I'm not mad at it.
Absolutely. You know?
That's
absolutely
cool.
Well, I had my first experience last week. Last Friday, I got to do this thing with Ice House for Stars Network.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
It was really, here, hold on a second for that.
Yeah, you get some applause break for that.
Much.
Come on, that gets a big applause break.
No.
You get the real
I'm
one.
I'm not satisfied. I want more.
Me too.
And so the preparation was you know, really intense. Mm-hmm. Once I found out, they had me write a 10-minute set. Okay, I had to send that in. So they had to check and see where I was going to fit, I guess, with other comedians.
Right.
And then they called me up like 2-3 days before and they said, can you dirty it up a bit?
Stars. It's a pay cable.
I know. And I was like, oh, shit. And then, you know, I have family and I, of course, consult with family and I have one of those
You're Mexican and you're respectful.
Yeah. Well, no, we're Latino. We're Latino.
Latino.
We're from Ecuador, but still same culture, like Mexicans, like Nicaraguans, all that stuff.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I just want to make sure I have the proper respect here.
But I have this like really hardcore Christian sister, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And so I called her up, and so she's like, hey, how's it going? Are you excited? You're going to be on TV? Are you so excited? God bless you. Are you so excited, Ricky? Are you so excited? And I'm like, yeah, Michelle. Yeah. Hey, guess what? They called me up. They want me to change up my set. Oh my God. Are you nervous? Pray. Just pray. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
And then I said, but they want me to dirty it up. And she goes, fuck them.
That's a good sister.
She didn't say that.
Speaking of religious people, you know who I've noticed are the most religious people, and especially in downtown, are the homeless. Have you ever noticed that? They're always religious. They're always on the side of the road praising God.
Yeah,
and then you want to walk up and be like, dude, he ain't listening.
Yeah.
You are failing at communicating with this being somehow. But one thing you never see is homeless people like chanting about Satan. Right,
you just don't.
You
haven't given up yet.
Yeah, they're like, because I was thinking about it. I was like, because if somebody was out there promoting virtues of like greed and lust and profit, they'd probably drum up some ambition.
Right.
Jerk off thinking about your neighbor's wife. Lie to the IRS.
Yeah. You know what? That's right. Here's a dollar.
That's some good advice.
I just used to love it in my family because my parents aren't like uber religious, but my grandparents were very, very Catholic. My mom's Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
But if something was going really, really good for me, like I'm not practicing right now, my mom would be like, oh, praise God. But if something bad was going, you need to go to church more.
Yeah. That's in my family too. Yeah. It's like, you don't have
You're not
God
going to church. That's why.
And that you're not believing. But, you know, I understand. Everybody has their thing of what they follow. I have some girls right now.
Ooh.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I have some girls. Calm down, ladies. You know, when I get into my philosophy.
Of Rick.
That's so cool.
I have some girls.
That's so awesome.
I have some girls here on the line. They are from Toronto. Hello, Laura and Caitlin. Are you on the line?
Hello.
Wow.
What's up, ladies? How you doing?
We're great. How
How are you doing?
Good. Now, let me introduce everybody to Laura and Caitlin from Toronto. There are two girls that kind of fell on my lap.
Wow. Yes. That sounds fun.
Okay.
Yeah, I wish they didn't have any clothes on when they did, but unfortunately they did. They had a lot of clothes because they're from Toronto. And then they landed here on my lap, and you know, a friend of mine knows them, say, hey, help them out. They're going to start out in comedy. And so they came here when? In January?
End of January
is when they arrived, and they, I want to follow them and see what's going on.
I'm
they
sure
do,
you want to follow
they
them.
Do,
yeah,
I know.
Creep.
I want to follow them.
I really follow them.
They do improv comedy, and we want to know what the hell's been going on, because I haven't heard from you girls in like 2 weeks. What's going on?
What's happening?
Oh, they fell on somebody else's lap.
We had the drunk, speaking of being productive, we had the drunkest Memorial Day ever yesterday.
Okay. You and 5 million other people go on.
Join the club.
We don't even know what Memorial Day is. We're just like, oh, because we're from Canada, obviously. We don't have Memorial Day. And we're just like, well, I think it's just a day to get wasted on. So
that's pretty much every single American holiday, so get used to it.
It's like St. Patty's Day here.
Love it.
They're like, I love May. I love that Cinco de Mayo thing,
that Cinco
too.
De Mayo.
My bar had a Cinco de Mayo party.
All right, ladies. So what's
going on? We had a show at the Ice House on Saturday with Rob. Oh, that was really fun.
You were with Rob DeRocha on Saturday?
The Mexican Carson Daly.
Mexican Carson. Tim Mars calls him Mexican Carson Daly.
Mexican Carson Daly. That's hilarious.
I think that's his joke. I think I just stole his joke, actually.
Here's.
Hail from DeRocha's.
He does. Pass. He could pass for like a Mexicano.
What happened with Rob on Saturday that he had to call in sick today?
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
They don't remember either.
He's busy.
They fell on his lap.
They fell on his lap.
He had something at Telemundo, but go on.
Roofied him. Yeah.
You roofied him.
Nice.
Damn those Toronto girls.
All right. And what happened afterwards?
Yeah, we have a new video out today. You guys should check it out. We're making fun of two broke girls, but we call it two coma girls, and we're literally just two girls that are in a coma the entire time.
Right.
And there's laugh tracks and all this stuff. It's actually really good.
It's pretty fun.
Okay, where can they find it at? Where can everybody find your stuff at?
You can find it on our YouTube channel called Cheap Smokes Comedy.
Cheap Smokes Comedy.
Cheap Smokes.
And we release them every Tuesday, so subscribe and you'll see all our hilarious videos.
It seems to be like the new thing with females in comedy. They're all doing sketches and parodies. It's like a total chick thing.
Or porn.
Right. I don't know which one won't work out first.
Right.
So how's the employment search going? Wink, wink.
Well, Laura's got a job. I do odd jobs. I make like an Excel spreadsheet for some dude for 8 hours one day. I made money off that. It was the worst job in the world.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are odd jobs?
Yeah.
Yeah, just Craigslist jobs that pay in cash. Like
Craigslist jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we call those Craigslist jobs. Remember? You have to speak in code.
Yeah, oh, right.
Casual encounters jobs.
Market research. You ever done that?
No.
What's that?
So where are you going to be at next? Where are you going to perform? Ice House? Are you at? Did you guys?
Yeah, there's a show in Marina Del Rey on Mondays that we're gonna do.
Okay,
it sounds like it's like facing the water. It's like really a beautiful show. I guess we haven't been there yet, so and we're gonna try to get on the improv.
Okay, yeah, they're very funny girls. They were on my show at the Ice House, and they put a guy on the floor and pretty much fucked him. So.
Already.
No, it was a dry act. That's what it was.
This gives me so much hope for female comedy in my direction.
Thank you.
I'm like right at that breaking point where I'm going to be there, but now it's going.
You're almost there.
Ladies, thank you very much for calling in. We love you.
Yes.
Anything else you'd like to say to your fans out there? They're screaming for you right now.
Thank you so much for all the millions of fans that we have out there. It's so great to have your support.
You're very welcome. And see you next Memorial Weekend, all drunk and messed up, right?
Everyone.
Oops.
Oops.
Oops. I cut him off early.
Oh, Rick, you're the savior of newbie female comics.
What a jerk. What a jerk. Those are the girls from Toronto. I mean, they just, a friend of mine knows them. I was just trying to, I don't know what I can do to help them, really. I just bring them on the radio.
I know a lot of things you can probably do.
Really? Like what?
Well,
come on, Nikki.
You're already acting like Santa Claus and laying them on your lap.
Yes.
Ask them what they want for Christmas.
Hey, that's okay. That's I'm going to share that with you guys right now. That's okay. The TV spot last Friday.
Okay.
Okay. What's the rule when you do TV? You do not do any crowd work.
Right. No pandering or anything like that.
Just stick to yourself. However, if there is 101 shot right there that you know is going to come in, that you get a lot of good laughs, you know, you go for it, right? And I feel I had it and I didn't go for it. I saw this couple right in the middle of the audience, white hair, just white hair, both of them old white hair. She was wearing a dark red sweater. So I was going to say, you know, give it up for Mr. and Mrs. Claus, right, in the audience. I'm a big fan. And I actually had some socks that were like colorful socks. Would have been gray, like, and you gave me these for Christmas and show my socks. I think it would have gone great, but I stuck to what I believe, which it went great. Everything went good.
Mm-hmm.
But that was like, oh, I'm playing in my mind like those seconds before going up, you know?
Don't live in those woulda, shoulda, couldas.
Well,
you killed it. You killed it.
But like you always want, you know.
Santa Claus will come to town again. Don't worry.
What's funny, while I was working on getting the bar open, I took a break from stand-up just to like...
I remember that.
Yeah, just to kind of focus and not have too many irons on the fire. And then like as soon as I got the bar open, I started doing sets again. And then right, like is what you're expressing right now, those moments when you go home and you're inside your head and you're like, oh, if I would have done it differently. Is everybody, were they offended by that thing I said? It's like, it was like all that came back to me in a millisecond. I was like, this is what I was missing out on, going home and staying up for an extra 2 hours wondering why, what subtle nuance of a joke I could have done just slightly different.
Yeah, right? You drive yourself crazy, right?
Right.
I mean, I did four jokes in 10 minutes. And then in each joke, I did something different right then and there because I wanted to challenge myself. I know being on TV is a big challenge as it is, but I still want to kind of challenge myself.
Push the envelope.
Right there, you know, at that moment. So I actually did something different in every little joke that I always do, you know. And if people who've seen my stuff all the time, they'll see it. Mm-hmm. Oh, he did this different, did that different. And so that's what I was proud about. There's just one thing about one joke people didn't get. I say this, you know, Jotos and Maricones. You know, that's fags, you know. Like, and then nobody laughed. It's like nobody got that, and I think I said it too fast. And then I looked at the whole crowd, and I was like, that means fags. and then everybody kind of had an uncomfortable laugh, but I jumped right back on course. It was fun.
Well, moving on.
Yeah, exactly.
From the Dorothy Explorer lesson.
The only thing you thought about at night probably was that little moment.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Then you can't get, because you want to like always make that perfect.
That was a perfect thing.
If I said it in English.
Yeah. Or no. Better yet, if I left it out. That was my thing. If I left it out, you know, things
would
have
been... They wanted you to dirty it up in there.
They wanted me to dirty it up.
People think that because we're funny on stage, that things that we're funny all the time when we leave. And comedians are some of the most like miserable people you'll ever meet in your life. And here's something kind of funny I've noticed after running the bar is that we have like a musician-only open mic on Mondays.
Okay.
And musicians are a way different breed than comics, dude.
Yes.
They really are.
Yes.
Like... And because they have to work as a team with each other. They work as a group. They have to go to Guitar Center and buy the equipment.
Oh, yeah.
They have to call the equipment in. It humbles them down right away. They're like a little marriage. You know, they have to get along with each other. Whereas comedians, they're just like one singular person that goes in there.
Right.
And,
it's self-love.
Right. So I had like one of the comedy shows. We had a band sort of jam before it. And the comedian that was on stage... He couldn't figure out how to move the mic stand, and so he just threw it down on the ground.
Are you kidding me?
And so the musician was still like in the audience, and he just goes, "Hey,
that's my equipment, bro."
No, it was my.
Oh, it was your
house,
equipment.
It was the house equipment, but he was just there. You could tell the vibe had totally changed. He was like, "Hey, man, you threw the mic stand."
Aww, and then the comedian,
the comedian picked it up, and it just crickets in the room at that point. He could not buy a joke. He could not buy a laugh in that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the musicians tend to be, it's weird. I the vibe, it's remarkable. You know what it's like. It's like so cutthroat in comedy, and everybody talks trash about each other as soon as they walk away.
Not to your face, though.
Yeah. No.
When I was recording an album, it's funny how you said all the work that it took to go into that set. I did an album at John Lovitz, and it was like months and months.
That was New Wave, right? I remember you told me about that.
And I would go to my comedy friends and try to ask them for some just honest feedback. I'd be like, hey, man, do I look nervous on stage? Do I pace too much? Do I talk too fast? Yeah. Just anything. Yeah. I couldn't get one comedian friend of mine.
They don't want you to kill.
They don't want you to get better. But the musicians on the musician open mic, they're like, hey, bro, you're a great singer, man. I like the way you do that. It's like, oh, this is different.
This is
change
like,
your pace.
Let's jam together, man.
I have a lot of comedians support me. They love my shit.
I won't say names, but there was a comedian that I was hanging out with at the improv, and another one got off stage. He's like, oh man, he's like, I had a really good set, that was awesome, I killed. He's like, oh yeah, bro, oh yeah, tell me when you crash and burn, and then I'll get off to that. Okay, just tell me when you burn.
Don't say names. So somebody was waiting for somebody else to come off stage,
the comedian got off stage and was like, you know how they run through the hallway and they'll go by the tables, and he was like, yeah, I totally killed, I rocked that. And he's telling all of us, and other comedian goes, yeah, bro, really? You killed? He's like, yeah, it was awesome. He's like, yeah, well, tell me when you crash and burn, okay?
Yeah.
Tell me when you fall on your face, and then I'll go in the back and jerk off to that.
Yeah, there's a lot of hating. Going on.
Well, I see, you know, when I try and...
I'm supportive. Like, I appreciate comedy.
Yeah.
I just do.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because I was a musician first, too.
Me
I
too.
Did country music. So, I respect that creative process. So... Mm-hmm. I mean, I have comedian friends that are headliners now. I'm only at like a feature level. I'm not a headliner level. But when they're doing great, I'm like, God, I really love that set, you know? And I'll tell my friends, yeah, this is a great comedian. Go check them out.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
It's
but I think what it is, I mean, not to get too philosophical here, but like if you're doing well and you're happy with your life and you're achieving the goals that you're setting for yourself, it's easy to be happy for other people. Because you're like, okay, but when you're setting goals and just continuously not hitting them, then you just think, well, make excuses. And then, you get mad. It's like, well, I could open a bar fight, blah, 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 blah. I could kill if I knew the owner. You know, and so, but if you're doing well and you see one of your buddies do well, you're like, cool, awesome. You got a TV show. Good for you, buddy.
Shows were like, yeah, way to kill.
No, you know, it's and even at all levels, I like to get philosophical. You know? at every level, even like at the very beginning, like when that person first goes up for the first time and then they come off stage and they're like, they can't breathe. It looks like they were just underwater for like 10 minutes. It's like, what happened? I just went up on stage. I'm so excited. Oh, good for you. You know, like you broke through that one part.
Mm-hmm. Like they did their whole 8 minutes in one breath.
Yeah, exactly. And then the guy went in and then, hey, I got an advice. Slow down.
the pocket.
So I like every levels, you know. I like running into the veterans. Mm-hmm. I ran into Bob Zaney.
Wow.
Bob Zaney.
Chicago.
Oh, man. He's just hilarious. His face is hilarious. You know? He's such a cartoon look on his face.
He's a neat act out.
I know. But he still does so well. Like when he's on stage and he's on the mic and then he kind of puts the mic aside and he has to always, you know, instruct that one person in the front row.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, he tells a joke, like something about lesbians and... They're rug munchers. You know, he just keeps doing that and doing it. And it's so much. Because I remember seeing him do that in the 80s.
Mm.
So, you know, nobody can say he stole. That's a Bob Zaney move.
Yeah.
Constantly doing that throughout his whole set. And so Dom Irrera is another guy that I'm a big fan of. Who do you like, Tim?
I love Chris Rock. I mean, I'm just a huge Chris Rock fan, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I sometimes have to tell myself, like, don't listen too much because I think you naturally start.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Because then you've heard it, and then it's like you start pacing your jokes in a similar way and stuff like that. But I just, everything he says is so insightful. Even when he's, like, in an interview and he's not being funny, he still has insightful things because there's not, like, a truth filter. Like, a lot of comics will do a joke. Like, I knew a girl who would do a joke about, like, going to Africa and building a village. And she was like, I was literally raising the roof, right? And that's the punchline.
Yeah.
But she's never been in Africa. Right. And I was like, well, why are you doing a joke about something that you've never done?
I got shot today.
Yeah, like to do a joke about what you really do in your life and something that means something to you. And that's why I like Chris Rock. I like Doug Stanhope a lot.
Oh, I love Doug Stanhope.
Yeah, so those are probably my big two that I recreationally listen to.
Now, are you back in the circuit? Are you performing out there? Are you going and doing shows? Where at?
Yeah, tomorrow night I'm actually doing Ed Galvez, who was just here. He has a show that he's been doing for 7 years at the West Side Comedy Theater called Punk House.
Yeah, I remember really hearing about that.
And that's actually going to be one of the first places I've stepped outside of my own venue. I've been working out some of the kinks since then. There's some new stuff.
That's good.
I don't live too far. I'm going to come out and support then.
Cool, awesome.
Come check
this
out.
That's nice.
Where do you live, Nikki?
I'm down in South Bay over by...
Exact address. What is it?
I don't want you creepers following me. I know you like to follow women, apparently.
I follow women. Hold on.
Hey, Derek. Spreckensy dick.
All right. One of my favorites there. But, you know, our sound guy is in here today. Ooh. And, you know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. You know, it's like he's done a lot of work. Like these are a lot of the sounds that he's put together, you know, and
takes a lot to make Rick sound like he's not a strip club announcer.
That's a healthy heartbeat right there. That's a little too slow.
Yeah.
You had to hear mine. Wait. Look at the amount of caffeine that's sitting on this table right
now. Yeah, I know.
That's what it sounds like.
It'd be like an African song.
I'm not a very
NBA playoffs are on. That's for the NBA.
That's right.
Playoffs. Let him in. Let him
in. Got some hockey. Adam's family.
That's a front door at the Lexington. When Tim Mars first opened up his bar.
We're the Toronto girls.
And I watched this movie yesterday.
We're going to give Daddy the Rain Man suite. You dig that? We're going to Vegas. Vegas! We get there by midnight. Honey, we're going to be up 500 by midnight.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
You're all grown up.
You're all grown up and you're all grown up.
Good stuff, right?
I'm going to put my nuts hat on your drum set.
All right, he's doing his... And
your sound guy is very talented.
Isn't he? He's also our movie critic.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So his name is Adrian. So the movie segment we call Yo Adrian, right? And it goes like this. But he's not here today.
I do voiceovers for commercials on ABC and NBC and CBS, so I appreciate the sound guys.
Yeah,
I do the clip, and then by the time it gets up on national TV, I'm like, do I really sound like that?
They don't make pussy cats like they used to.
That's for you, little Mexican.
Aww. They don't make pussy cats like they used to.
Yeah.
Like they used to.
What else is going on, Nikki? Tell me,
boring.
Baby.
I'm boring. Are you kidding?
You're not boring. Let me tell you something. Nikki calls in a lot. You know,
we asked.
We asked for serious callers to call in, and Nikki calls in joking around all the time. calling us. As she said, she was a karaoke singer one time on what?
Did you listen to that one?
Yeah, he was here.
Yeah, he was here. That was the girl Jessie singing Selena and Britney Spears.
Yeah,
that was me.
That was good.
Yeah, this was her.
I'm not a baritone, obviously. Right. I'm an alto. I used to do a lot of character voices. Like I would, like when I was in Houston or whatever, they'd have me call into like the college radio stations and do clips of like Cartman's mom's voice or whatever, stuff like that. I'd be like, I knew a certain kitty who's leaving with mommy tonight. And I was doing Britney Spears for him.
I love those.
It was so embarrassing.
You know what's
so
cool? That'd be hot. Like do you do that like when you're with your guy or something? Or where you're like, I'm going to be pretty.
My ex-boyfriend, because I'm going to throw myself under the bus. I have two cats.
Okay.
I'm one away from being a crazy cat.
Okay, right?
But he would come in, and we'd come into the house, and I'd talk to the cats in a stupid kitty voice. And I'd pull it out in bed every once in a while just to piss them off.
Oh, shit.
I'd be like, oh, my gosh, such a cat. Oh, cat. Oh, such a cat. Oh, no, not. And you just saw
Oh, that's really good.
Well, this is weird because I have a neighbor right now that does his shit, right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, upstairs. And I can hear, like, and then sometimes she'll be doing, like, oh, little kitty. And then she'll go, hey, I told you not to do that. I'm going to kill you. And I'm like, whoa, this is getting really weird. It's like I've heard five characters already.
This is the coolest orgy I've ever heard in my entire life.
It gets, and then she told me that her cat brought in a dead bird, okay, and put it in her mouth while she was asleep. While she was asleep. This is a true story, people. Wow. I shit you not. You know, I'm not going to say names, but, this, you know, and I'm supposed to go like, oh, I hate it when that happens. I'm supposed to.
I can so relate to this right now.
You should have been like, that sounds delicious.
Yeah. Like, I hate it when my dog just brings a used condom and just puts it in my mouth.
When she told me this, I was like, oh, really?
It makes me think of Dumb and Dumber.
I thought of that bird. I pictured that bird in my mouth, and I was like, ugh.
Are you a vegetarian, or do you eat meat?
I eat meat.
You said you live in Eagle Rock, so that means you're one of maybe your 5% of the people in that neighborhood that eat meat.
Eagle Rock is becoming like another Silver Lake.
Vegan capital.
Yeah. Well,
I'm horrible with
that.
They
smoke the Eagle Rock, is what they do.
Preferable being vegan, you said?
Well, I'm like a meat eater, and I kind of sometimes get annoyed by vegetarians. Like, because I think there are two different types. There are people who do it, like, because it makes them feel better.
People that do it because it's cool.
Well, yeah, if it makes you feel better, then cool. That's awesome. They don't bother anybody about it. But then there's the emotional people that are like, meat is murder and that type of thing. And it's
can't
like,
stand it when you're drinking milk.
Right. Well, those people are forgetting the fact that a plant was once alive as well, too. I mean, to sustain life, you have to kill something and eat it recently.
Yes.
If it dies, you can't
eat. Let's go kill something.
You can't eat sand.
What if you take the plant for a walk? Right. Is it different? Is it different? Work with me here. Is it different?
I'd rather get my Coca-Cola from some sweatshop workers, okay? Right. They didn't die for this. You're sitting drinking your kombucha tea like you're cool.
Right.
Ooh, I have a little more here for you.
Happy birthday to you.
I don't know. Whose birthday is it?
Happy birthday. And he said I could comb his pubes.
There you go.
Oh, that one's cool.
I love being queer.
Really?
Congratulations.
What show do you use that little clip on?
Got my Wednesday night show.
That's my sound guy. My sound guy is my younger brother, who's kind of metrosexual. Ah. He lived in France for 3 years. He has a funny walk.
I love being queer.
We call him Frenchie.
We call him Frenchie sometimes. Call Yo Adrian. And I told him to call in to explain why he's not here today. He wanted, hey, do you want me to call in? And I was like, no. And he's like, oh, okay, because I thought maybe you'd want me to call in to let you know why I'm not going in today. Right? And then I was like, why are you not coming in today? because I'm filming this thing. I have a part, and maybe people want to hear this.
So he was like passive aggressively roping you in.
I thought he was going to say, I can't sit down for 2 hours.
Yeah, he was like, he's like, hey, you want me to call in? And it was funny because we did karaoke last week. It was a karaoke
thing. Where was my invite?
And I did invite you. And we did karaoke, and he sang, what do you think? Jitterbug. Wake me up before you go. Right.
I was so mad. The one topic that I kind of create you guys to do, I have a show that night and I couldn't.
Yeah.
It's a karaoke.
And she's a karaoke singer herself. Here he is. Listen up.
All right. Adrian's going up.
This is awesome.
Adrian's going up.
Is this a clip of you?
You know where this is at? This is Sardo's.
Oh.
They have karaoke all the time. And I do open mic there sometimes. Stick around. Watch.
Oh, there it is.
He might like Wednesday nights at Lexington.
Everything.
Okay, so what happened was he got, because we were making fun of him, that he wanted to sing Jitterbug, and I said, wait, or, you know, wake me up. I said, dude, you don't want to sing Wham. And he goes, I didn't want to sing that song. I wanted to sing another Wham song. And I go, every Wham song is gay, dude. Come on.
That's why I worked so hard for you. Yeah. For everything she wants.
And then he goes, we go to the karaoke place. He goes, I'm going to sing Wham, like, for the radio show, because it'll be funny, right? And I say, okay, that's funny. That's cool. Thanks. You know, let's do it. And when he got up there, he goes, right when he heard Jitterbug, he just goes, this is a bad idea.
I was a big George Michael fan when I was a kid. Like, when the music was coming out on the radio, when I first started, that's dating how old I am. But, like, I remember this very well.
How old are you?
Yeah. Like, Monkey on My Back, that song's bitching. Come on.
Faith.
Oh, yeah.
Faith was a bitching song, yeah.
He's all tough. He's all got the 5 o'clock shadow. He looks tough.
That's sure on TV. Cool. He's got all the half-naked
models.
What about
when he had all the models?
Right, right. Yeah. Right. And then my uncle, who's named Tim as well, took me aside one day, and he was like, he's gay. And I didn't know what that word meant at all. I was like, what does that mean? He goes, well, he likes other guys. And I still didn't know. I still hadn't had the birds and bees talk with mom and dad. I'm like, well, cool. I like guys too, right? Yeah. Guys. And he's like, no, he likes to, you know, be with men. Ooh. And I was just so
like this, like this, Timmy. Like
did
this,
that make
Timmy.
You love his music any less?
I was confused.
You were confused?
Why do I like this?
You were
this?
In a conundrum.
Why do I like this?
Why do I like this?
Did you have the 80s haircut by any chance?
I did.
Have like a like flock of bangs. Seagulls?
Yeah,
I did. He's got a Clark Kent thing.
I have a Clark Kent. I'm doing the downtown hard part.
Hard part.
Yeah, with my Asian girlfriend.
What kind of hair product would you guys use on that?
Yeah.
We would use a little gel in my organic mousse on his hair.
Ooh, organic.
You know why? Because it would make your hair look fuller.
Oh, yeah.
See, you could attract all those vegan girls with your organic mousse.
Wow. I'm using Korean hair gel. I'm not going to lie.
Korean hair? Korean, what? Ooh.
This is how about Korean hair gel.
Be careful. Be very careful. There you go.
I don't know.
I had a...
But their food is terrible.
We're here at Sardo's Karaoke Night. What's your name?
Callan Blake.
Where are you from? There were just people at the karaoke place that we were interviewing, and that was the wrong button I pushed.
I have to think about where I'm from.
Where are you from? Yeah.
I was looking for this one right here.
And Siemens Smoothies.
Yeah, that's right, because earlier you were talking about hair gel.
And Siemens Smoothies.
My Korean hair gel.
You see a lot of
Asian girls in downtown with white dudes. You got to admit that.
Yes, you do.
Asian women like white dudes.
You know what? Downtown is a huge melting pot, though. Like, you'll see an age. You'll see the guy with a turban on his head with a young blonde girl.
Right.
Like, you'll see that. And like a black kid.
Right.
You're like, what's going on here?
Equal opportunity.
Well, I'll get philosophical again. I think that it's kind of like what happened with the American automotive industry. You know, in the late 60s, 70s, American cars, that's where it was at.
How he's comparing cars to women right now.
Just think about it for a second. Then, you know, those Japanese cars came over.
Yes, and then what happened?
They were a little smaller.
Lower maintenance.
Yeah, better on the pocketbook. Absolutely. Exactly. More reliable.
Yeah.
You know?
More reliable.
And then eventually people started saying, like, don't buy American.
I'm so SOL because there's no Mexican cars.
No, Latinas are good. They don't, you know.
The Pinto is long gone.
Right? And then eventually it's like...
I guess we would be like, what, the windowless van?
That's my philosophical analogy.
So now the American cars are making a comeback.
They're making a comeback.
A huge comeback.
Right. They just had to get bailed out by a black president.
Whoa! He's a comedian, ladies and gentlemen. He's a comedian.
And he's stuck on the freeway.
Obamacare is not on your side no more.
No more.
Come on, Obamacare.
Hey, today he signed a bill for some billionaires. Did you see that?
Really?
No, I didn't. What kind of bill did he sign?
Man.
He's in term two. He doesn't care.
He just wants
some sponsorship later.
Free people that are in jail that I like. Yeah. I don't care.
My homeboy got locked up 18 years ago. Pardon.
He's like, I owed him $20 as a kid. What can I do?
Yeah.
At this point, it's just like, whatever.
Well, and it's time for the news. You guys ready for that?
Ready.
Okay. I got two news segments. I want you to tell me which one you like the best.
A lot of suspense.
A lot.
And now, your anchorman,
meteorologist, sports connoisseur, Riverdale High School alum, comedian and chauffeur, and on occasions he likes to catch his stepdad wearing a bra, Rob DeRocha.
He usually does the news. Thank you, people. He usually does the news for us, but he's sick today, and he told this crazy story about his catching his stepdad wearing bra.
Really?
And so I had to do that. I had to do that.
This is a true story.
It's a true story. It's a true story.
Wow, that's a true story.
Now, then when I was getting this stuff ready, my sound guy was like, I got a better idea. So you guys hear this.
And now, your anchorman, meteorologist, sports connoisseur, Notre Dame High School alum, comedian and chauffeur, and on occasions on the weekends is a dendrophiliac,
At first, I thought it said necrophiliac.
What is a dendrophiliac?
Yeah, I don't even know what that means, and I laughed.
Yeah, it's it's somebody who has sex with trees.
Who's got an iPhone?
Who has sex with trees?
That's I thought it real. Said necrophiliac, so yeah, at least dendrophiliac no. I can appreciate.
With someone's sex with trees.
You know, it's kind of, love too.
You know what's kind of funny? Like,
it's out of left field.
At the bar, we have the pitch black walls, and we give people chalk, and they can just write on the walls whatever we want. And somebody
I saw that.
Somebody wrote on there, have sex with your food. And then they drew a cabbage that resembles a vagina.
Somebody
and they
has watched American Pie too
they
much.
Drew, they drew a carrot that resembled a penis. So we have a carrot vagina and a carrot penis and a cabbage vagina.
That had to have been a vegan.
Yeah.
Yes. Those dirty vegans.
You are hanging out with way too many vegans.
Yes, yeah. That's the problem, Tim.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Got a lot of hipster friends.
You're just a hipster.
In Highland Park.
In Highland Park.
In East Los.
First story on the news. Police in 17 countries smash huge money laundering scheme. Did you hear about this?
No.
Agents from five continents have smashed a huge money laundering scheme that allegedly helped 1 million criminals hide their profits.
Wow.
1 million. Not, I understand 1, 2, you're hiding for
a million this criminals.
Guy. A million criminals and their profits.
Huh. Wow.
The U.S. Justice Department.
How do you even know a million criminals?
I know.
Right.
How do you network? Are you a criminal? You are? Oh, cool. Let me help you out.
How many people are in the world?
And how do you jail that?
Yeah. I know, seriously.
How many people are in the world? What's the number? Anybody?
6 billion.
Okay, something like that. Yeah. And a million of them. A million of them are criminals.
Yeah.
Well, the U.S. Justice Department said Tuesday it indicted the Costa Rican-based Liberty Reserve Digital Currency Company, OMI, from Costa Rica, OMI, and five monkeys. Not five monkeys. If five suspects were arrested in New York, Spain, and Costa Rica. Two others are still at large. The indictment accuses...
Ambiente.
Liberty Reserve, I already see it. Libertad. 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 Of laundering $6 billion in profits from crimes including credit card fraud, identity theft, drug trafficking, quit hitting the table, and child pornography.
Well, where do they wire that money to once they find it? Just kidding.
I don't know.
We're doing well until the child pornography thing.
Yeah. Well,
everything else.
When it's financial crimes, I think to punish them instead of sending them to prison, they should make them work like Target guest service for free for like 2 years.
Right.
Just put up with everybody.
I'm baffled though at some of those financial criminals, Bernie Madoff.
Already
a multimillionaire. And it's like, well, how greedy can you
be? You need more?
I'm
about getting those guys.
Sorry, you need five yachts?
I think it's kind of the other way around. See, I think it's a good idea to have them work at Target, but I think they should be in the maximum pens.
Yeah, I don't think
with a major criminal.
And the guys who got busted selling somebody a joint or something, those guys should get a shift to Target.
Gosh. Yeah.
Those guys should just have to make nachos.
Madoff
for other people and not get to eat them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's like here, you have to make tasty nachos all day and
not get to eat any.
That's your punishment. Wow.
Those are the people that do the Ponzi schemes and all that. What their whole thing is, they just think that they'll outsmart everybody.
Right.
At some point, you have so much money. I don't think it's about the money. I just think that their ego is so large.
Well, I think, you know, we were talking.
It's just about
they just need a lot of mistresses to stick their money into.
So I have money and other things. We were talking about how people are, when they succeed, they're more encouraging and happy of other people. I think that breeds a lot of that. When somebody is just
you know, not hitting the bullseye over and over again. I'm like, how can I just steal money because I don't want to work? How can I just figure out some way to get money from people quickly?
And the irony is, and that requires work.
Right. All the hustling and brain power.
It requires more work than it.
You could have started a legit company.
Look at me. I have a fake legit company. I run the other business nobody knows about.
He's laundering his money through hair care products.
It takes more effort to evade all the taxes that they owe than to actually do something legitimate.
Yeah, and just pay tax. I don't know. I'm not against taxes.
Do some type of philanthropy.
No, you've got to pay taxes.
Yeah,
you
I'm have mad
to.
At that.
Yeah, we have to pay taxes.
I mean, the more when you pay tax, I've always paid tax. I've never gotten a refund.
Yeah.
Right. I've always been that type of person.
Earn
money.
Money.
Yeah. You know, and so... and I've owed a lot, you know. And but yeah, I believe in that process. I think it's important. But what they do with it is what sucks.
Yeah, I got an A rating from the health department. By the way, it reminded me. I was like, see, that's tax money. That's my tax money. They came in and looked at my sinks. And,
oh yeah,
yeah, it is.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, they help the health department, department of education, and fire department. Those are the three branches that everybody likes. Yeah. Right? So nobody's mad at firefighters. No, everybody thinks teachers should get paid more.
I agree with that.
And when you walk into a restaurant and there's an A rating, you're like, all right. Will you guys eat at something that has a C in front of it?
Right.
Will you eat there?
No.
No, I don't.
So I'll eat just about it. It doesn't matter to me.
Well, I've actually, I've eaten in ugly places in Mexico, and I'm sure, Nikki, you have too.
Definitely. I don't even want to talk about what places I eat and what is.
I've eaten the ceviche out of a barrel in Ecuador on the street. And just because a family member said, "What's wrong?" And I was young, and I was like, I don't want to eat that, you know. And then they're like, you know, just of course they with their hands, but they had like a scoop thing, and then you know, now I go and it's like, yeah, I want some of that. It's weird,
yeah, right.
You know. It's like, but when I was a kid, I was like, no, I'm gonna die.
Or they had like the plastic buckets filled of like pozole and menudo, and then they cook it on a hot plate, but it's coming out of a plastic bucket with just a plastic lid.
This is making
lid.
Me really hungry.
Yeah. I know, right? No,
it's like a cooking show.
I love Mexican food. That's like my number one favorite food.
When I lived there, I was staying at my brother's wife's, my sister-in-law's family's house. And the grandmother was like 90 years old, okay? And she had this little cabrito one day, this little goat, okay? And the goat was there just laying, like its arms all flat, like crucified, right?
Wow.
And his tongue out.
Oh, its tongue
and the
out.
Eyeball, like, you know, still looking at you. Yeah. But all skinned, dead.
They were ready to just
they're
tear
ready
it down.
To cook it, right?
Oh,
and then,
nice.
And then she goes, hey, come here, in Spanish, of course. She goes, hey, come here. I'm going to let me show you something. And she goes, and she grabs the goat's eyeball.
Wow.
And she
goes,
she
goes, you want to eat the eyeball? I said, hell no. Right? And then she goes, watch. And she just goes, crunch. And I just like, oh, I almost fainted.
That's a real Latina. Right there,
dude. Like, and she was this little lady with hardly no teeth. You know, she had like the little, always wearing the black dress, the same black dress. Yeah. And she would always cook me. You know, tacos in the morning. Oh, and I'm not a menudo fan. I don't like menudo. But I'm about those Hispanic culture that you had to eat anything that's put in front of you.
Yeah.
And so
that's me too.
Yeah, they're giving me menudo, and I'm like, shoot.
By the way, it's menudo, we'll just call it menudo.
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 Well, this is for Tim to understand.
No, that's Ricky Martin's band. It's menudo.
Yeah, me and my audience.
So anyways.
Or they would freeze it and make you eat it throughout the week if you didn't finish it at the dinner table.
Next story on the news. Next story on the news. Highlights of Colorado's new marijuana laws.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
very
my.
Nice.
This is funny stuff because once you make marijuana recreationally illegal from illegal to... Oh, we got to make up some other stuff, by the way. and this is what this says. Colorado's governor signed 6 marijuana regulatory bills into law Tuesday while the state awaits a federal response to recreational pot legislation. A new law seeks to regulate the newly legal drug and keep it away from children without being so strict that weed stays in the black market. Some highlights from Colorado's new green laws, as the governor points them out, he says, law number one, share and don't bogart.
Don't mess up the rotation. Don't mess up the rotation.
Yeah, puff, give.
Hey, you got my vote, Governor.
By the way, Mom, I know nothing about this.
That was not true. Okay, here we go. The first one is, this is a funny one, okay? You can come buy it, but you can't take it home.
That's a...
That's going to be a law. It's a bill that's good. You can buy it, but you can't take it home. What it says is visitors to Colorado.
You can't leave the state with it.
Yeah,
will have purchasing limits of 1/4 ounce of marijuana in a single transaction. The law doesn't ban adults over 21 from possessing a full ounce, residents or not, but the purchasing limits were seen as an effort to reduce interstate trafficking and help persuade the federal government not to crack down on recreational sales.
Huh. I got. Wow. I was doing a one nighter in New Mexico, and
that's where I'm from.
Yeah, the Inn of the Mountain Gods.
Are you serious? Yeah. You were in Rio Doso.
Yeah, I did. And wow. I got stopped by Border Patrol. I had weed in the car. Woo-hoo. You know, and I showed him my California rec. And my doctor's rec.
No, you didn't.
And they go, well, that's not valid here. And I was like, well, it was valid when I bought it. I was like, and then they go, well, what are you doing here in New Mexico? I was like, I'm doing stand-up comedy at the Inn of the Mountain Gods. And they were like, they let me go.
They let you go.
Yeah, he was like, well, if you just throw in that dumpster so I can give my dog a treat, then we'll be cool.
Oh.
He said, just throw it there because then the dog gets his little treat.
Oh.
Wow.
And then you said no.
No, I said, yeah, do whatever you want with it, man.
You said, thank you very much.
And then you went and ran back into the dumpster.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You're like, where's that damn dog?
How about if we split it with a dog? How does that sound?
Oh, my gosh, that's hilarious.
You said, thank you very much, Officer Chong.
Yeah.
The Inn of the Mountain Gods is gorgeous, by the way.
Oh, it is. It's beautiful.
My parents and me used to go up there for Christmas just to vacation. Mm. They would, you know, just go play cards and watch the horse races. And right. then they have that pretty little lake outside.
Yeah,
the back.
Gorgeous.
Oh, it's gorgeous. That's my home. Yeah. That's my home.
Oh, you hear that, home?
Talking about, like, medical marijuana, like, I was telling you, I'm from Lexington, Kentucky. And one of the, it's like a hidden joke that the number one cash crop in Kentucky is not tobacco. It's marijuana. It's just like everybody jokes
oh,
about
really?
It.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because it supplies a lot of the places in the South. I mean,
nice.
Now, I saw this thing on CNBC. It was like this documentary that they had made about tobacco and about how, you know, a lot of people have been fighting big tobacco, and it's been hurting. It's been hurting really bad. And they interview these Kentucky farmers.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, hey, if they can give me anything else that'll earn more per pound, I would grow it. And tobacco goes for $5 a pound.
$5 a pound?
$5 to $10 wholesale.
Wow.
You know, when you look at medical marijuana, it doesn't ever go less than $1,200 a pound.
No.
So when
you just get the calculator out, forget about morals and ethics. You know, get a calculator out and say, look at how much money that
it's
this state that you could tax it and make money out of it. Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense.
And you can create employment. I mean, you can do so much with it.
Yeah. And then get put
a lot of comedians have that as a joke. Like they talk about marijuana, Chris Dunham.
Mm-hmm.
He has a joke about that.
Are you saying I just hacked Chris
Dunham?
Yeah,
you just did. You just did. Another law is the pot business isn't open for business, comma, yet. Isn't that funny? They put yet here. Look. See?
Yet. In all caps.
Colorado's marijuana industry will, for the first few months, be limited to people already licensed to sell or produce medical marijuana.
Nice.
Hmm. So, next one is the cameras better be rolling when you grow it. So they want to have, I guess if you're growing it, you have to have cameras and stuff to be watching what you're doing. Another one, not every town will sell it. Another one, marijuana clubs aren't safe. Kids get new protections. I guess it's, you know, laws. Because now I opened up another article that showed ingestion, you know, edible marijuana, that some kids are eating it by accident.
Ooh.
Oh, in case mom leaves out the brownies at the dinner table.
Why is somebody cooking them in the first place?
Yeah. Or they find a cookie from their friend's apartment or whatever, and they're like, oh, what's this? Mm.
Exactly. Crazy stuff. Mm. Another thing in the news that I saw recently, amazing story here. A newborn baby pulled from sewer pipe in a 2-hour rescue by Chinese firefighters. In China, you guys look up this article. It's really sad. I mean, so sad, but this kid is going to be Superman. That's my thing. I think this kid's going to be Superman. Look at the pictures. See how he's in the pipe? Oh, that's when he was safe. But look, he's in the pipe.
Oh, my gosh.
Look.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. How did he so perfectly just fit in that pipe?
Wow. Oh my God!
I wish you guys could see this.
What kind of parenting is that? How do you, your 2-week-old baby?
So, newborn baby pulled from sewer pipe in 2-hour rescue by Chinese firefighters. The baby was found below a squat toilet and was stuck in the L joint of pipe with a diameter of about 10 centimeters.
Oh. The picture of this is just incredible. The baby's just literally wedged in that pie perfectly, like it's sleeping, like it's just laying there.
That's true.
And it had to come down and around like perpendicularly, so that's weird.
Yeah.
That its back didn't break or nothing. It was completely fine. It survived that?
Yeah. The abandoned two-day-old child was found in Jinhua, a city in the eastern province of Xinjiang. After residents of a tower block reported hearing crying.
Oh, my gosh.
Remember baby Jessica? Wasn't she stuck in that pipe for, like, I don't know, 8 hours or 8 days or
right,
something?
Right, but that was just a straight down pipe. This kid.
I mean, this is a long time ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
Unable to pull the baby free, firemen were forced to saw off a 4-inch diameter piece of pipe from the floor below and take the infant to the hospital, still inside the pipe.
Oh my gosh, how long was the baby in the pipe?
The 5-pound baby who still had his placenta attached to his body was finally extracted from the pipe after nearly an hour, according to a local news website. The boy, whose 22-year-old mother could now face a charge of attempt homicide, had suffered severe bruising but was in a stable condition. They call him baby number 59 after the incubator that he was put in. It was not immediately clear how the baby ended up in the pipe, but one police source in Jinhua claimed that the woman gave birth unexpectedly when she went to the laboratory on Saturday.
She was like, I tried to get to L.A. for I didn't know I was pregnant, but they didn't believe me.
I had this stomach ache for 9 months.
I kept growing.
And I took a shit and I felt better all of a sudden.
Those stories are ridiculous. Have you ever seen that TV show?
Yeah.
I just thought I was bloated.
But she actually called the police. She reported to the landlord that she heard some weird noises. Police are still looking for the boy's father. He's probably far.
Yeah.
He's gone.
He's going to claim up to that.
Yeah, yeah.
That poor kid is going to have emotional issues when it grows up.
I think he's going to be a strong kid. It's like
serendipity.
Can you imagine he's 12 years old? And then he'd be like, oh, I can't make the ball in the hoop. Fuck, you were in a pipe. 2 days old. Who cares about the ball in the hoop? God. You want $100, dude?
Yeah.
He's like, dude, you're a real life Ninja Turtle,
yeah,
bro.
Exactly.
You are a Ninja Turtle.
You are, and then he thinks it. Like, he'll probably, you know.
If they name him Raphael, I will be very impressed.
Some people were talking about it on Twitter. The parents who did this have hearts even filthier than this sewage pipe.
Yikes, yeah.
I mean, sure, of course.
Or no heart.
Yeah.
I can never accept or forgive the behavior of dumping the baby with its placental umbilical cord attached into the... Oh, man, wow. So sad. But good news that he came out of it. Man.
I mean, times are tough. I understand that. But, geez, there's so many different options. You can give the baby up for adoption. There's tons of people that want kids.
Yeah. What would you do, Nikki? If you felt something in your stomach and you wanted to fart,
not
tell my mom, because my mom would be like, "Thank baby Jesus, she's finally 31 and Hispanic and pregnant."
Yeah.
Thank you, God.
Yeah, my mom's pressuring me.
I know my mom would be like, "Give it to me, just give it to me."
Yeah, your mom doesn't pressure you
all the time.
Yeah, I think everybody gave up on me already. She's like, okay.
I mean, you've heard my jokes. That's the basis of like half my jokes is my mom begging for grandkids.
Yeah, they all want. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, can you see yourself being a...
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, I can.
Absolutely.
Sure, I'll be a great daddy.
We'll have that baby sling at Skid Row Studios.
Just wait and see. I'll have myself a regular Justin Bieber.
That'll be your new soundbite for your sound guy. We'll be the real baby Gray.
Of a regular Justin Bieber, because that's who's in the news next.
Oh, Bieber fever.
You hear about this guy?
No, what happened?
He's driving all around the neighborhood in his Ferrari.
Nice. Yeah, he gets hammered from what I heard.
Really?
Yeah, I heard he parties a lot.
Yeah. And then look how he looks sitting in the car.
He's like,
he looks like a little kid.
He has to look over the steering wheel.
Yeah, over the steering wheel. And he's like, oh, I hope I don't like scratch the car. So it turns out, I guess an NFL football player, somebody I hear, went to his house. The guy who used to play for Dallas, help me out, somebody,
Michael Irvin
went to his house
because
they live in the same neighborhood.
Oh.
And he said, hey, Justin, quit driving around like a D dick.
He's like the Chinese kid on Indiana Jones with a little beep.
Yeah. Went up to Justin Bieber and said, stop acting.
Yeah. Stop driving around like a little jerk. Dick.
Yeah, doesn't Justin Bieber have like a big, huge security guard that's suing him for being slapped by Justin Bieber?
What?
Yeah, that was a story a while ago.
Really?
Yeah, it's like you lose all credibility as a security guard.
You get slapped by Justin Bieber.
And you follow up with a lawsuit. It's like
he can't even work security for Lexington now.
Yeah, you do not have any man points at all.
That career is over.
You're security guard for who? The Teletubbies?
You're like, if you got slapped by Lindsay Lohan, maybe. That girl's hardcore, but this is Bieber.
Oh, she's got a better right hook than Justin Bieber. I'm not really a hater, though, on Justin Bieber, though. Do you like pop music? I do. I like Bruno Mars and stuff like that.
I'm okay with it. I used to be like, no, just Rage Against the Machine, or no, just let. I used to be kind of like that, but then I opened up to so much different other music. I lived in Mexico.
Yeah, he opened up to quite a few things.
Thank you. I'll be at Lexington Wednesday.
He's like, I listen to Juanes, okay?
I like Chalino Sanchez.
No, they turned me on to the Los Bukis and all that
Los
stuff.
Tigres del Norte.
Tigres del Norte. When I was down there, and it's like, I wouldn't listen to that today, but when I was down there, it's like, I had no choice. So I was like,
Dude, that music is gangster.
It is.
The lyrics to what they're saying in that, it's like, I will kill somebody. I have another woman. It's like,
they're corridos, and that's what they're basically
about. Sounds so beautiful. Like, it's a love song. Every time, it sounds like... Sounds so nice, like you're being serenaded, and then you get somebody to translate the lyrics to you. You're like, oh, no.
That was how my parents used to talk to each other when I was little. Like, they had those like Mexican pet names for each other.
Yeah.
And I thought they were so sweet when my dad would.
Guy.
No, my dad would be like, oh, your mom's my little cebollera. For those that don't speak Spanish, that means little onion picker. My little cebollera.
Hello, pussycat.
No, but with the music, you don't have to be a fan of his music, but this little boy was playing, drums at 6 years old?
Yeah, he's talented.
Yeah, he's a talented kid.
Yeah.
Well, I think the moral of the story is that if you become famous on YouTube, you're going to be a dick.
Don't drive like a dick.
Right.
No, you're automatically going to be one.
Anybody would, though. I look back and I think, like, what if I had just moved to L.A. like a decade ago and got some huge deal? I would have been a dick, too.
Really?
I
think you're so young. You don't know.
I've had to work really hard to have a little teeny 1,200-square-foot bar. I'm grateful for my life.
But if you get something
handed to you too early and too easy.
Yeah.
Like bread of shame.
It would happen to the best.
Imagine this whole, the world is his oyster. Like, I mean, you're so young.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, he can have anything, but at least you would pick a car that you could see over the steering wheel.
I don't think they make one.
A Prius, maybe?
What about Kanye West? Yeah, you a fan?
Kanye West, I was watching his rap on Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About a week or two ago.
The new Slay
song. Why did you get so serious?
Because because I like to be real.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting into it. It was a lot of yelling, anger. There's a lot of anger. Right. You know? It was like, cause you don't know when, and he was just going, and it was, and I don't know if it was like I like the stuff in the background.
Yeah.
How he had like all these like the slideshow in the background, just going with this crazy shit. I was like, but I wasn't listening to the words and I wasn't listening to the rap.
Yeah.
And so then that got me thinking: is it just like the cherry on top, that stuff that to distract me and listen to that stuff? Because the music wasn't bringing me in; it was more the visual.
It's getting weirder.
For shock value now.
Yeah.
I'm
a Kanye fan. I'm a rare breed.
He's a great producer.
I loved him when he first came out. I thought his lyrics were just like so genius. Yeah.
Well, wasn't he producing all of Jay-Z stuff?
Couldn't afford a car, so she named her daughter Alexis.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah. But I like Kanye because he's like a rock star the way a lot of the rockers aren't rock stars anymore.
Yeah,
like
that's true.
They're really soft and they're always talking about how their feelings and they're like, and any kind of like normal rock and roll song, like any Latin song, you'll hear the word corazón, right? And any rock and roll, you'll hear, I don't care. And even though they do care, that's the whole catch. Yeah, they do care, but they'll say, I don't care. It's in every something. But like with Kanye, you know, he's the type that'll trash a hotel room. He'll tell Taylor Swift.
He's like the Axl Rose of rap.
Exactly.
He's the Axl Rose of rap.
Yeah. Motley Crue and Ozzy in the early 80s were destroyed.
They need to put
T.I.
and like Kanye and make like the Motley Crue of rap.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I don't want people to be safe. I want to buy albums that are dangerous.
I just
want to
break hotel
rooms. I want people to take chances and say crazy. crazy stuff to the president. You
there
know?
You go. Yeah, sure.
That's
why not?
Like, why do, I don't want somebody that's like a lot of these guys. They get so safe.
Yeah,
you know, they got a taste.
I want to know these lyrics are real.
They got a taste of some money, and they're like, I don't want to lose this, so I'm not gonna say anything gonna that's gonna risky. Make any waves.
Sure, ladies, watch out for this comedian. He's gonna turn all of his normal real life situations into jokes, and he does not want you to be safe.
Yes. We got a caller, and I believe it's this guy.
Oh, no, it's Adrian.
Adrian. Are you there?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Now, Adrian is our sound guy and our movie critic, and he's not here today. And we don't care why he's not here today. But for some reason, he really wants us to know. So
go ahead.
That being said, Adrian, why is it that you're so mysteriously not here today?
Because I'm acting in a short film.
Oh!
Swag. Wow. Swag.
Are you an actor? I didn't know you were an actor. I thought you were just a sound guy.
Triple threat.
I'm a sound guy for you, Rick, but yeah, outside of the booth, I'm an actor.
I thought you were a filmmaker. Do you also act in your own films, or what do you do exactly?
I try every once in a while.
Like a fortune cookie.
You try once in a while to be a filmmaker or to be an actor?
I want to be both, actually, but mostly a filmmaker.
But what you got to be careful of is not being what I call movie masturbation.
Right.
Vincent Gallo or Spike Lee, it's like, okay, or Woody Allen even in some of his movies.
Woody Allen.
It's like, okay, you're the producer, you directed it, you're the director of photography, you're the star.
Let something go.
Hire somebody.
Come on, Adrian, let something go, buddy.
Have a little trust in the creative process.
Help our economy, hire someone.
So how's your filming going today?
It went great. We shot a lot of scenes today.
What happened?
We're allowed to divulge.
Which scene did you?
I'm gonna put my nuts at.
Which scene did you do today?
Unfortunately, I'm not at liberty to discuss it right now.
What was the point of this phone call?
It was a passive aggressive bait and switch.
At least you're using all his sound bites against him right now.
Can you share a little bit, what did you eat for lunch?
I ate a pretty decent bacon cheeseburger.
How big is your trailer?
Yeah, actually, it's the corner of a street that we were filming, and I had shade. So, yeah, it was pretty decent.
It sounds like an independent film.
Like a student film.
And he said I could comb his pubes.
Who's that in the background?
Oh, yeah, it's great. We had a good shoot. I'm shooting tomorrow at 6 in the morning again with the crew, and it should be fun.
Congratulations.
Hopefully, maybe I'll be able to bring the cast and crew
to
the radio show.
Okay. Really? You'll bring the whole cast and crew? How many are they? Is it like the Titanic?
It's a total of 5 people.
Wow.
That's the whole crew and cast?
What? Sorry?
Is that the crew and cast?
Yep.
This is like guerrilla filming.
So we're
I've done some of that in my day.
We're talking a big Hollywood production here.
That's so cool.
Hey, no, they're really great guys. They're pros at what they do, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be decent. So we're going to be sending it off to festivals, and you guys are going to love it.
Congratulations.
Congratulations
on that.
Since you're a movie critic, I have to ask if you've seen it. Have you watched The Purge yet?
The Purge? No, I haven't, unfortunately. I haven't had time to really go to the movie, so I'm definitely going to get on that.
He's on the set all the time.
He's important.
I was expecting him
to actually do work for you and do the movie critiquing. I'm sorry, he's big time now.
He hasn't they sent him to his house. He just hasn't been home.
Starstruck thinking I'd get a first look at this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I will. Actually, next week's reviews will be The Purge and Before Midnight.
Ooh.
All right.
Okay, cool. I'll have to wait till next week to watch it.
Yeah, we are.
Have you done any karaoke?
No, I have not, actually, unfortunately.
Okay.
I think he needs to be my partner. I need to take him out with me, right?
What's that?
Oh, shoot.
All right.
Oh, yeah. That's my song.
That's your jam. Is that your ringtone on your phone?
Can I just sing over the phone? Just be like,
do it.
Yeah, do it. Well,
do
give
it,
me a little bit.
It.
Give me a little bit. Ready? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4.
We're waiting.
Go.
Oh, well, I needed some music.
Need some backtrack.
Come on.
Okay, you want
karaoke.
Some music. All right, here you go.
Go ahead.
Sing it.
You got two songs in my head. You got the bang, bang, bangs on the back of my head.
Oh!
Bang,
he just
bang,
came
bang
out of the closet.
Bang,
oh, he likes it
bang, bang. Back of my head.
He likes a bang bang in the back of my head.
Super penis, I want to build him.
All right, Adrian, thanks for calling in. I got another caller, bro. Have fun.
You're a star, Estrella.
You're a star.
You're a star.
Estrella.
The only problem is no one knows it and no one sees it.
But we do. You feel special.
Have a good day, brother.
You're very special
to
us.
Okay, later.
Te queremos.
That's my younger brother, Adrian.
He's so cool.
Yeah, yo, Adrian, he helps us out here. He does the sound. And we got another call. I think it's a possible sponsor.
Ooh, yeah. We like those.
Nice. We're trying to get to the show here. Hello. Nice. Hello, you're on the line. Hello, you're on the line. Whoa, hello. Are you okay, sir?
I'm Bill.
Hi, Bill. How you doing, Bill?
I want to be a sponsor.
That's great.
You need a sponsor?
All right, yeah.
No, I want to be a sponsor for you.
Okay, you want to be a sponsor for me. Well, great, Bill. What's your... are you healthy?
You don't want to ask.
Yeah,
you
can just watch away from that. How are you? Are you good? You're good.
Okay, well, you just got to speak a little bit clearer. But what is your product and service, Bill?
We're good. Bill's Rabbits and Rabbits.
Rabbits and Rabbits.
Bill's Rabbits and
Rabbits.
Like and, vibrating rabbits or real rabbits?
And rabbits. No, just rabbits and rabbits.
Okay.
You know, rabbits.
Like real live bunny rabbits.
Like rabbits.
Like what's that, Doc?
Yeah, like real live bunny rabbits.
Cool. And, you know, I don't think I have many people that like rabbits on my show, so how would we get...
Do they have rabbits?
What's that?
Do you have a rabbit?
No, I don't have a rabbit.
But then you need a rabbit. It's a really good business.
Hmm. Okay.
Why was there a need for two rabbits in the title if you just sell rabbits?
Yeah.
Well, some people want rabbits for hugging, right? And some people want them for eating. So I call those rabbits and rabbits.
Oh, so they're dual purpose. I got it.
I see. That's very, very clever. Very clever.
We prevent all your rabbit eats.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody in here is French.
No.
Did he just hang up?
Did he just hang up on us?
I think he had to go catch some rabbits. I'm not too sure why he would...
It's rabbit season.
That's why I have control of the show.
Yeah.
I could cut you at any time.
El jefe.
That's what his life was like that?
I know. And then you just go, you know what? Get out of my way.
I figured in the way your sponsors were going with the sexual connotation, he meant like rabbits.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was rabbits too. I thought it was... alcohol first, to be honest with you, because he sounded very drunk.
Yeah.
Wasn't auto-tune voice boxes.
And then we could have done like a, you know, tit for tat thing. Hey, come buy some drinks at Lexington, right?
Yeah.
And we'll buy your rabbits.
You could be the enabler.
Enabler. He would have walked in with a lot of rabbits.
He gets a sponsor, you lose your liquor license.
Right.
Perfect.
Whatever.
But we all get rabbits.
You get rabbits.
Another reminder of one of our sponsors, what is it? 54club.com. 54club.com is a clothing line of clothing. It's 54 clothing right here.
That's
54 pants.
Cool.
Wow.
And you go to 54club.com, okay, and you pay $60 a month, and they'll send you like $120-$150 worth of clothes.
Wow.
Every month for men. I don't know about women. We got to see.
For men.
But
I rock a hoodie.
My listeners get a discount. So the first 3 months. They get $15 off, so they pay $45 a month, and then they get the clothes
that's
every month.
That's pretty damn awesome.
That's pretty good.
And it's really good. All you got to do is put IZ Radio, in the promo code when you go to 54club.com. That's 54club.com. Let them know that Iz Radio sent you, and make sure you do not let them know this.
I'm want to put my nuts at.
And the stuff looks good. It looks great.
Yeah, it's really nice stuff.
It's really cool stuff.
Rick looks like he could totally cruise down Sunset Boulevard and fit right in right now.
I know, huh? Doesn't it?
You look so cool.
I feel the same. I feel the same. And
rocking that camo.
I could comb his pubes.
You wear camo so well.
Yeah, so camouflage?
Yeah.
With a little orange thing.
Yeah, the orange thing throws it off.
Yeah.
So basically, you would look, if you were in the middle of the jungle, you'd look like this little
defeated
orange
the purpose.
Circle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the target.
And they'd shoot me.
Right
they'd
there.
Shoot me. So yeah, 54clothing.com is one of our sponsors. Also, 54club.com. We have another caller. Who is calling in? Yes.
Hello. Do you have any rabbits?
Good. Okay. Yeah. I don't
know. and you're clowning on my phone calls into the radio show. At least mine are constructive.
Get them out of here. We don't want the rabbits anymore.
Gosh.
No rabbits.
Gosh.
You're bald. Maybe they thought you were Elmer Fudd.
Anybody here watching the NBA playoffs?
No.
No?
I caught.
Okay. What's going on? I haven't been watching.
I think San Antonio swept Golden State, and then I believe Miami's up 2-1 over Indiana.
Wow. Okay. How about hockey?
Or 3-1, sorry.
Anybody here following hockey?
The Kings are playing today, but okay. I didn't
see. They're playing right now, I think.
Yeah, right now.
Okay. Well, that was our sports segment.
All right. I'm like the worst at that, too. Nobody asked me anything.
Everybody look right at the white boy.
Yeah.
This one's playing today, Tim.
At least I have an excuse.
I want to thank Tim Mars for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Tim Mars, Lexington Bar. Make sure you go to 129 East 3rd Street in downtown L.A. That's near Main and 4th. Am I correct, or 3rd?
Right. It's between Main and L.A. on 3rd.
Okay, Main and L.A. on 3rd. 129 East 3rd Street on Tuesday nights. He has Big Trouble Tuesdays at 9 p.m. And then it follows by an open mic.
Awesome.
And then Wednesdays there he has Hump Night. I'll let my brother know about this one. Gay Night. And so we will make sure that he goes out there. Thank you very much, Tim, for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Greatly appreciate it. Where are you going to be at next, comedy?
Tomorrow night I'll be at the West Side. What's that place called?
West Side Comedy Theater. They're, in Santa Monica.
Yeah, Santa Monica.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
10 o'clock.
Great. And then I want to thank Nikki Burnell for being here. La Mexicana, who's here with us today. Nikki. Okay, one more time, Nikki. Okay, Nikki. All right. Wow, that's long. Wow.
I'm long-winded.
That was a good one.
That's a good one.
All right,
that's
Miha.
That's why I am in bed. It's long-winded.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what we like. Nikki, where are you going to be at? Where can people find you?
They can check my Facebook. My Facebook comedy fan page is just Nikki B Comedy, or my Twitter is just Nikki Bernal. But I will be at the West Side Comedy Theater as well.
Awesome.
On June 2nd.
Awesome.
So, yep.
Okay. Thank you, Alexis Hair Products. Alexis, thank you very much. He's like the community guy, not an entertainer, just sitting here enjoying the show
giving
his feedback, cool tattoos. My name's Ricky Skid. I've been your host. This is Radio, and I'll be at the Ice House June 21st. I'll be at Flappers June 5th at 9:30.
Do it big.
And in Alhambra, Belly West on June 8th. Thank you very much for tuning in, everybody, and we're out.